Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
What's up, everybody? I know a lot of you out there saying, you got Snooker again. He said he's going to have the mayor on, and he's not there. I know all of you out there, you're sniping against me, and you're kicking my back in because you thought I wasn't going to have the mayor on. You thought I was going to try to pull a fast one like you said that I did the last time. Oh, no. He's here. What's up, everybody? Yours truly, Ron Kelly, the Ron Kelly Show. Right here on WWPL 1490 AM and on the web, it's blogtalkradio.com. What's up? How are you? A little bit late, but better late than never. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on the Ron Kelly Show. Glad to have you here. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, back in the air chair. You can go on the website, www.theronkellyshow.com, and also the Facebook page is the Ron Kelly Show. If you're too chicken to call in, you can... You can post your question on my Facebook page. This is the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook, everyone. We are honored to have the Honorable Mayor of the third largest city of the state of New Jersey, the Honorable Jeffrey Jones. How are you, sir? Good day and welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm well, a little well, and, you know, dealing with life. My granddaughter's in the area, so we may be interrupted by an occasional question. Okay,
We may be interrupted by an occasional caller too, but it's okay. How are you? How was your Christmas and everything? How you doing?
I'm good. I had to take 12 days that I didn't use throughout the year, so I'm forced to sit around the house, and we're doing what we did last year for the young people who did well academically. We're going to give them a tablet. And I'm watching my granddaughter enjoy all of her Christmas. So to me, that's it. You know, that's all it is. Get down.
Well, don't talk about taking days, Mayor Jones. There'll be another conspiracy with the a la Joey Torres.
Yes,
but anyway, yeah, we'll move on from that. We'll have another conspiracy. You know, let me just start out. Mayor Jones, by thanking you for taking time out from your business, because I know you're never off when you're the mayor, especially a town of the size of Patterson. You're never really off. It's almost like being a police officer. You're always on duty. And now I know you've read a lot about what's going on in the town in regards to crime. Let's start out with that. And every day you're reading something in the NewJersey.com or one of those on the web or whatever about something happening in Patterson. Now, I know that you are aware of this, and, folks are kind of saying, the mayor doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything. So what are your thoughts on what's going on, and what are your plans in regards to trying to get this somewhat under control with the crime rate in the city of Patterson?
Well, I'm not familiar with the sources that you're reading. A lot of it that happens, I hear about it, if not first, second. And by that, the police are out there doing their thing, whether it's the best job or not. Well, that's always subject to debate. We're 150,000 or more people, and if you do the math, that's the equivalent of at least 10 cities. 10 cities at 15,000, or 15 cities at 10,000, or even 5 cities at 20,000. We're divided by 52 different nationalities and ethnic groups. And yet some of the biggest challenges that we see have been constantly in the neighborhood of African Americans, and that's no slight, but that's the reality. And it's been the same geography. It hasn't changed in 20 years. The same geographical footprint have been the consistent areas for crime. So our strategy was to address it wholesale, to displace crime where it was. You can't eradicate it, because as long as you got poor and unemployed and even some uneducated, you're going to have crime. And when you have people who are returning from their situations back into a community where they can't find employment, they're going to look for an opportunity. We have fewer officers than the city has ever had in 20 years, and that's by design. And so The offices we have are on a 4-on-4 schedule, 4 days on, 4 days off, when you only have a 7-day work week. And so you add all that together, and that's our challenge. Our challenge is to make sure, as best we can, that they are equipped with the best equipment, that we have the means to hear the public, and that we're on the streets, and that's up to the chief of police and the police director to make sure they're doing the job we're paying them for. And to the public, which is the part that we've never really had engaged, and we've been making every effort to do that, to let us know what's going on. The downside, as recent as the other day, or yesterday, people were calling the police, and so they're alleging. And when they call, they want a 15-minute police response. We in the city of Patterson didn't have a 15-minute police response when we had 500 officers. We only have 390. So it's not realistic from the side knowing how many we have, but we should be aspiring to a better performance and response time. So those are the kinds of things we're working on. And for the record, the city of Patterson put a dent in crime. We were at 18%. We dropped down to 11%, if my numbers are correct. We did such a good job, and although it'll never be appreciated, and I understand that, that Camden, sent up by the state, came up to see us, the mayor, Dana Redd, came up to see us and me to talk about what we did to shut down some of the aspects of crime. And they're now employing some of our strategies in Camden. Is that going to change anything? No, not at all.
Well, speaking of Camden, I understand that they have implemented a regional police force, county, and they fired the municipal police force, and they implemented a countywide police force that has taken over. And I read in the Star Ledger the other day that crime has actually gone down in Camden. I'm sure the Patterson police will spin their heads like Reagan and the Exorcist if they ever heard this. But is there any chance, or has there any thought been to that idea of maybe having a regional police force rather than just a municipal force?
Well, I don't know that a regional police force is what's driving crime down in Camden, to be honest with you. And if they're seeing success, well, God bless them. Nobody needs to have a phone call or a knock on their door saying that they lost someone. But remember, or know this, and I encourage all your listeners to rather than jump to conclusions, and that's fine, but there's proof in many places. When I took over office, crime was up, and they kept throwing the fear of curfews in everybody's face. Now, the problem with a curfew is it's not going to take the bad people off the street. It doesn't do that. It locks the good people in the house. And so every time you hear the word curfew, how come you don't hear it in another neighborhood? It's almost like we're a plantation, or we're some kind of controlled experiment. And it's been going on for so many decades that we have gotten accustomed to believing that the crime only happens in Patterson, which isn't true. Newtown shooting, that wasn't just Patterson. The recent one down, just down South Jersey here. Crime is what it is because you've got people who don't care about life. And government can't go into a home and teach people how to raise their kids. That's just not possible. As the kid goes on a certain path up until they're an adult, well, you sure can't change his or her behavior. And we've got 36 plus points of entry into the city. Even with 500 officers, I doubt that we could patrol every one of those, plus do the streets, plus responding to incidences. And by the way, the 500 are never on shift at the same time, or the 396. By law, you have to have a third off at every time. So you never have a full complement. But no, I don't think the regional construct will work for us. We have a county sheriff. The county sheriff in the last couple of years has been working with us in partnership. That's how we've been able to knock down crime a little bit. We've also moved crime around. But as I said, I met with Mayor Dana Redd and her police team that was coming in, and we gave them our strategies that we've been using, and they were directed to see us by the state. And they took back some of our stuff and implemented it. But the piece that you may miss is this. Did crime come down, or did they just displace people from the major areas of Camden outside of Camden? And that's what our data is telling us. You don't show up someplace and have people who are disaffected, unemployed, living in the poverty, low education, all those things, just turn around and act right. That doesn't happen. what happened is they've chased some people away. They tore down some buildings because they got the full complement of the state's support. And the backstory to Camden is many of the poor people down there ain't going to be living down there soon. That plan, from what I gather, is about turning that into a resort community. So the many poor people being pushed out of there. That's why they need to do regional. But look who also got disaffected. The people, the police officers who live there, which it speaks to that conversation about hiring people from your town to be on your police department. Well, those are the main ones who lost their jobs. The people they got in aren't from that community. So you got one side of the pendulum versus another. I mean, there's so many versions of how one can look at this. We're always open to discussion. You may recall that I had a conversation and a presentation when I first got in about federal zone, and it was shot down. But if it's okay for Camden to have this regional police department, then why wasn't it okay when I requested back in 2010 to have this federal zone? We already have it. If you think about the Graves Act, which says you can't do drugs and have weapons within so many feet of a school and all that stuff, and if you do, you get triggered off 10 years, no plea, no nothing. Well, if 8.4 square miles is 8.4 square miles of 52 schools, that every 500 to 1,000 feet, you're out of school. So we are, in fact, the federal zone. But anyway, we got the support of the ATF, FBI, the U.S. Marshals, the county, the state police, the county, and Patterson PD, and we did a number of mop-up operations, including helicopters on high and all that kind of stuff, and we knocked crime back a little bit. But it keeps showing itself in certain places and spaces, and we'll keep fighting it. We've got a few strategies I can't talk about, but we've got some strategies, and we keep trying them, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, did one of the candidates, I won't say who, is beating us to death with policy and procedure and implementation, and the whole idea behind that is to say that, you know, Patterson, for example, when money gets sent back from HUD, that Patterson is not following proper procedures and policies and things are not being done properly. Now, speak to that.
Sure.
Is there a problem, you know, procedure-wise, you know, within the city of Patterson and interdepartmentally?
Well, there's definitely a problem with the city of Patterson. Overall, it's been a problem that's happened for over 30 years. That particular individual, Mr. Policy, is interesting to me on so many fronts, but doesn't talk about the fact that before this administration, all the monies that got sent back to HUD. Never mentions that. So what that means is that Patterson CD, and that's probably the department in question, never did have as thorough a person as we have now. That same person is the same person who kept trying to get that job, and so, you know, he's conflicted out if we're talking the same person. Mm-hmm. My conflict with him is, listen, you want to come after people that look like you, that's fine. I know where you're at. But you came here, and I told you the day you got here, I already had somebody. And from that day on, it became an issue. Well, I understand you worked in Connecticut, under CD, you worked in some part North Carolina under CD. Well, if you're so darn good to do those things, why are you here? So you're going to come here and throw stones, throw your stone. But where is the proof that money went back to HUD, at least the 1.5, because that never happened? But let me just share with you, he's right on some things, and I won't argue with that. When you have broken policy and the city's subject to lose any kind of funds, it's a bad look. That's just unacceptable, and it's a bad look. But HUD is fickle. It's federal. It gives you, I mean, every city is awarded a certain amount of money, but you don't just get this amount of money and you just spend it. You apply for it. So every year, our CD committee, our department, goes through this process, and by the way, the council has nothing to do with that. We do it. The administration does. So they go through each segment of the HUD funding stream from home, and I guess there's so many of them. She's the expert, I'm not. So they have all these different segments of it. And then they submit the application, and then you receive a letter saying that you're going to get this award. So let's say it's $5 million, let's say it's $4 million, whatever the case is. Once you get the money, you get a date by, you have to also submit an action plan. And this is how you're going to spend the money. So you allocate, if you get $5 million, $1.2 for housing, $1.this for this, $1.this for that, $500,000 for this, whatever the case is, and it's a total. Now, once you get the money, you start spending. But because of, and I shouldn't say but as if it's a condition, we have nonprofit agencies make application. They then, and we train them. They come in, they submit their application saying, I'm going to do this for the community, I'm going to do this program, I'm going to do that program, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You say, okay, got it. And then we have an underwriter who reviews their application for the financial sense of it all. And we have a review team who reviews it to make sure it's logical. So it's not the city making all decisions. We bring in this, it's a partnership, if you will. Once we approve an application, and we say, okay, we're going to give you $100,000, we're going to give you $50,000, we're going to give you $30,000, then they sign a contract. Once the contract is signed, it's not with the city, it's with HUD. They then have to draw the money down through the HUD account, and they do it as by submitting the receipts on the monies they spent. I don't know if you're seeing where I'm going with this. So once you awarded the money, or at least the intent letter, and then you have this ability to draw down, you're now in the HUD system. It's not our system, but it's the HUD system. We are the managers, so that's why we always get threatened with losing money. Does HUD know that individual organization? No, they don't. They only know the city of Patterson. So that day that you get that money, or you're eligible to start drawing down money, the clock starts ticking. And that clock ticks and it ticks and it ticks. And if you don't turn in receipts, then we have a backup, the city does, of unspent funds, 5%, 20%, 30%, 60%. So if all the organizations are having some kind of problem, and in this last couple of years, that problem was they weren't getting funding from banks and lending institutions. So they couldn't get those funds even though we approved them, even though they said they can get the money. And that made it look like we were above our portion. And that's when the threat of the 1.5 came about. What's interesting is the caller who's been telling you all this stuff doesn't tell you that the $1.5 million controversy, which, again, didn't exist. They never received $1.5 million from us. It was earmarked or it was being challenged by local folks, one group in particular, one individual in particular, who I won't go into, to give it to a local organization all called county government. So I have a real problem with that because people don't know that every day we're fighting more Pattersonians than who have access to federal and state folks, and they're fighting with them to try to conspire, and that's the word I'm going to use, to get the resources to their friends. That's politics. I got it. But no, we don't have failed policies, and if we do, we try to correct them. When HUD comes out and does its reviews, and it does them regularly, they ask for certain files. Now, in this case of Patterson, and in this scenario, and I'll close out on it, the $1.5 million, which happened to be the subject of conversation that did well for the Herald News, because, you know, they don't like me being here, and that's fine. You're talking about program funds that were not expended from 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. But HUD doesn't look at you're the mayor now, this happened on your watch. They look at it, it's a long-term process. So if it wasn't spent in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, it doesn't matter that you're the mayor now. You get that money spent. If not, you got this percentage of outstanding funds, and bam, you're hit. Now, can so we reallocate? Go ahead.
So you're saying, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, so you're saying that it's not necessarily that Patterson is not spending the money, is whoever the money is contracted out to, or whoever the
yes.
organization or agency is, they are not spending the money, and this is why there's a problem.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. Matter of fact, we just completed the firehouse on McBride Avenue, brand new state-of-the-art firehouse, the first steel construction that the city of Patterson has done in 30 years. Again, it was started in 2000 and something, long before I became mayor. They couldn't figure out how to get through the morass of federal dollars and state and this and that. They had some land issues, stuff we always have. But this administration got it done. That very same director of community development figured it out. We almost lost $4.6 million. And so let me be clear and say the threat of always losing money is always a real conversation. if you don't do and spend what Fed gives you, they want it back. But they don't just want back what you think you owe them. They also take money forward. So if an organization comes to you, and there have been several, and I sat in on some of them, the first thing they did was blame the director. Oh, we didn't get this, we didn't get that. And I'd read the application, that's my background, and I look at it, and I'm going, wait a minute. Why didn't you get the money from organization X and Y that you say you're going to get? And then they tell us about, you know, the economy and this and that, but the bottom line is, and it can't be just about the economy, these organizations have to demonstrate an ability to develop. And if you don't have that track record, if you don't have that history, then the lending institutions are going to give you any money. And if they don't give you the money, I can't give you any money. So most cases, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but in most cases, the problems with the city historically have been organization. The other percentage has been staffing. We've done an analysis of the staff in community development, and unfortunately some are civil service and you can't touch them. You can't touch them because there was never any record of them not performing adequately as the seats, civil service requires. It's called progressive discipline. So if you've never documented that they failed to do this, they didn't do this, and didn't do that, the first time they have a major error, let's say it's worth $5 million, it's the first one. The best you can do is maybe suspend it for 2 days. Go ahead.
You know, I'm saying you're stuck with some people, in other words.
I'm stuck with a lot of people. Absolutely.
You're stuck with some people who are protected by
right.
The Civil Service Commission, and so are these people. Well, I know you can't name anybody, but these people are underperforming, but you can't really do anything about them?
You can't touch them because you don't have records of progressive discipline. And the progressive discipline is simply where somebody does an evaluation of a person's performance and writes in something. But politics has been the issue in Patterson for so long. A person got a job because they're friends with somebody, because they dated somebody. All that kind of stuff is a part of the conversation. And so nobody puts anything in their record. Not to mention the director before the current CD director was in there wasn't even a director. It was a person who was a placeholder, and the rumor is, and I believe it, that the former mayor would call him and tell him who to fund. Now, when HUD does come out and takes a look at your files, you're supposed to have things in your file, little simple things, but they better be in there. Let's say you're supposed to advertise. You have to have a copy of the advertisement in that file. Your papers have to be signed in triplicate and whatever else details. If you don't have one of those pieces, or it's lost, or the date is incorrect, any of that, HUD can start giving you what they call finding. And the finding is the first step in them saying, we're going to take the money. Now, they always threaten you with taking the money. And by the way, White Plains just lost $20 million because it didn't come through, and the city of Patterson was eligible for $190,000 of that $20 million. So it's not just Patterson, it's all cities. All cities are always under this clock about whether or not organizations are doing their part, whether the city and its employees are doing their part. We're always under the gun. Even the county of Passaic. Matter of fact, the county of Passaic just took over the task force's program, the energy program.
There was a lot about that. Right, there was a lot written about that in the social media.
What happens is the state, from what I gather, the state wanted to have somebody else do it. Now, for me, the real question is, why do you want to take theirs if they're doing the job, and if they weren't doing it, just do what you got to do? Instead, they gave it to the county. The county is not prepared to run that program, and they've admitted it. So what's the issue here? The issue is to keep taking the money of the poor and give it to other places. That's politics. It's always going to be politics. That's never going to change. But what's interesting is they find a person or persons who think they're saying something intelligent by giving parts of the story, but what you're doing is you're damaging everybody else. So anyway, it's always bigger than the person who's saying it. The truth is always out there. It's up to a person's desire to find out the truth. And I can tell you many times I've been in meetings with myself and maybe one other person. And I go on the street and I hear that I had said something or did something, saying, well, I was at that meeting and the only other person was this person. So I know I didn't say that. So how are you getting this information and how are you sitting on it like it's truth when you never came to me and asked me? that's the deal.
Let me ask you about ceasefire and the
the
resolution. It was. Go ahead.
Let me put out. And you asked me something about one of the things we were doing too with the police department. I meant to say this, and I apologize. Mm-hmm. I realize that until we start having some folks who are born, bred, and live in this town on the police department, we're going to keep having these problems. So one of the things that I've advanced, and I was myself who did it, and I take pride in saying that, have been going to the high schools and talking to our young people and saying, how come you don't go to the police department? How come I don't see your face and your names on the civil service list? And, of course, they said, nobody will be a cop. I'm saying, why not? They can make up to $160,000 a year. What's wrong with you? If your mom or somebody has a problem, the first person they call is the police officer. Why can't that be you? So, of course, we got to get through that, and that's part of a different design. That design is to have us not wanting to be law enforcement officers. That design is to keep it within the program. Many of the law enforcement officers are sons and daughters of former police officers. So, of course, it's almost cyclical. And I'm not mad at them, but that's not an excuse for us. So I advanced the notion of Class 1 police officers, a chance for our young people to get some police training, a couple years on it, decide, learn about communications, learn about police actions, get that inside scoop, and then take the test. If you then decide that's not for you, fine. But if you do decide that's you, then you got an opportunity. Of course, the back end of the problem is if they take a civil service test, and our young folks do, and they have one blemish from when they were 18 years old, it's held against them. And I just had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with the public safety director that I can't accept that. Because I know we have officers who didn't come up with those blemishes, but what happened is they wind up getting on the job, and they wind up being some of the worst officers we've ever had. So how do you explain that? So I don't agree that the system works per se, but it is the one that we have to use. So I'm encouraging our young people to submit for a civil service test first. But if that's not your direct interest, do this Class 1 thing that we're working through. And then when you become a Class 1 officer, you get a chance to see, you do patrolling, you learn police calls, you do all that stuff. And then if you decide to be an officer, you can. That's going to bring crime down exponentially because people will have a vested interest in their neighborhood, unlike some we have. Okay, well, now your question.
Okay, since we did go back to crime and prevention, Mayor Jones, everybody, Patterson Mayor Jeffrey Jones, in the studio with us today. Since you did go back to policing, I just want to ask you another question about that, Mayor Jones. And one of the candidates has proposed to form a special police force for the more immediate needs that we have here in the city of Patterson. What are your thoughts on that?
We have that already. First of all, whoever that candidate is.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'm not talking about emergency services, whoever those guys were.
I'm talking exactly about what you're talking about. When I got in office, the city of Patterson had to endure 2.29% tax increases. And I said to the state then that that's draconian. I say it today. I just got here. You've known that the city was failing. You didn't do anything then. I get here and you're saying, nope. And the first thing we have to do is let go of 125 police officers. And a total of 474 people total, which include DPW and clerks and other people. So we had to work with 125 less police officers. We were already down from 500 to 400 and something. And then that dropped us down to 360, I believe the number was. So we are down to 360, so you don't have a whole lot of latitude for special operations, drug, this, that, and the other. But we did create what we called the unit. We created the unit in 2010, latter part of 2010, which is a specialized unit of all inspecting-based services, police, fire, community improvement, DPW, anybody who had inspection authority. We went out to every bar that was on a certain list, every home that was on a certain list. We went out there and we knocked on doors and we cited them for every violation because we were looking at the habitat by which some of the crime and stuff was emanating from. So if 17th Ave, for example, was a hot spot, we looked to see which businesses were often being identified. And we would go there, 10th Avenue, we went there, Park Avenue, we went there, 21st Avenue. We went to all the big avenues, and we went to the parks where we knew. We went there, with all of those units because we didn't have enough people. So we made up for that by having people with inspected background. And if we saw that you made a club, you didn't go through the necessary paperwork, we shut you down. You had to go to court. You go to court, the court would cite you, you're no longer operating, that problem resolved. So we have done those special units when we didn't have the bodies. We now just brought back some more police officers, but for every new one we bring on, we have one retiring because of the new state 1.5%, almost 3% increases in insurance. So we're never able to have a full complement until the last few who've got 25 and 30 years in leave, and then we're talking about a whole new young police force. It'd be nice to have special units. It always is. But it's only as good as if they know how to do the job well, and do the job free of, you know, biases and stuff like that. But also, as I said before, without community helping, police department can't do nothing.
That's very true.
People can dream all they want to that you have all the police and you're going to have crime solved. It doesn't work like that. If the public doesn't want to call, if the public doesn't want to help you and work with you, then the police officer has to do all guess. And guessing isn't going to solve a problem. So
no, or a crime. Let me ask you, Mayor Jones. I've read where people have questioned you about Miss Nelson Ivy, and you know, so you hear about what I know. You're not there's only so much you can say in regards to how you felt about it. But I know, speaking, you know, for me personally, if I was mayor and somebody who I appointed, you know, into my cabinet flips on me like that, for the lack of a better word, I'd be feeling some kind of way. Tell me what you can tell me about how you felt about that. And this person you have to work with until May, you know, it's got to be in some way, a lot of ways uncomfortable, Mayor Jones.
Well, you know, if you know anything about me, there are some
and
things you spend, right. There's a lot of things you can spend a lot of time on, and then when you look at the end of the day, what are you going to get done with it? Being mad at Miss Ivy doesn't do anything for me. She's doing the work, and that's fine. If she wasn't, she would have been called in. The programs that has been done from Human Services have been my programs, our programs, this administration's program. If, in fact, a person believes that they can do a better job, I think that's fine. I live by that. And I'm encouraged that 15, 20 people want to run. Prior to this, the deals were always done by the politics that only one or two people got it, and you got the least of the least likely. So now the whole community gets a chance to take a look and hear and shop, if you will, shop for somebody. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to find what you're looking for, but you get a chance to shop. So I've looked at it that way. Do I feel some kind of way? I'm not quite clear I understand the motivation. I know there are some people in the camp that have some baggage, not my camp, in her camp, whose desires to have certain things done to benefit them are the ones pushing. And that's okay. That's a part of the process. It has to be. As I know, you know, Judas did have some children who lived. That's been my line.
ceasefire, Mayor Jones.
Hopefully we keep our eyes on her back because that's where it's going to come from. All the ideas that have happened, anything that can be stated from the side of Human Services, the credit has to be given to this administration, thereby the Jones administration. Can't take it singular. Nor do I. I always credit the directors for the work they've done. So if that's position and taken, fine. Want to run, fine. By all means, you're being watched by everybody. Let's see what you do. And good luck. And that's what I said then. I'll say it now. Good luck.
All right. I believe we have a caller on the line. Number six. The last four digits 6612. Ron Kelly Show. How are you?
How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing well. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jesus from the Hispanic Council here in Patterson.
Hey, Jesus, how are you? You have a question. One question for the mayor. Please, you know, state your question because you won't have an opportunity to follow it up because we're short on time. So if you have a question for the mayor, go right ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for the mayor. How you doing, Mr. Mayor?
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. I was wondering, I was listening to you to your response to many of the issues, and I was, you know, thinking of similar situations that we had between groups, nationalities, racial issues in the city. And I was going to ask you if there was something that could have been done better or that was worked on while you, as mayor, from the mayor's office, in terms of some of the issues that we had between groups in the city, nationalities, racial groups.
You mean the mayor speaking out? You mean the mayor? I'm sorry, Jesus. You mean the mayor coming out and speaking out? Okay, I got you. Okay.
Or in terms of the office of the mayor or the city, any efforts that have been done to relieve or get these communities to feel like they all are the same, that they all live in the same city, to give them a sense of community, you know, in the city.
Okay,
you know,
so the question. Okay, so the question, Jesus, was Mayor Jones, about you possibly speaking out and maybe trying to calm things down a little bit when there was an issue, for example, with with the food cart downtown. There was a little with that, and then other things that did take place. So
right.
So your question is, why wasn't there an effort from the mayor's office to speak out and try to calm things down?
Well, even beyond speaking, as far as special efforts from the mayor's office, special activities, anything that was done to help these communities get along, as we see it as an issue, and I'm sure he does as well.
Everyone
has observed, you know.
All right, thank you, Jesus. Hold on, the mayor will answer your question. Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Hey, Jesus, thank you for, I think it's the final part of your question is the one to put it in the perspective for me. And what I mean simply is this. We are probably over 52 nationalities and ethnic groups, over. And we've already launched a census challenge to say that we should be a Class 1 city. We're sitting on 8.4 square miles, and the surrounding towns don't care for us and don't want us around. Part of that is the powder keg, because everybody wants what they want. And I agree. Everybody wants what they think they deserve or what they're entitled to. The problem is we're only 8.4 square miles. You can't build anything new unless you tear something down. We don't have all the resources and tools to accommodate every interest. We just don't have it. We barely get print material out in two languages or three languages. So it's a failed construct from the onset. So whenever there has been an issue, and the food cart one, I remember that explicitly. What I'm familiar with that one is, and this is what I've heard, I can't tell you, I wasn't there at the moment. An individual made a statement, made a reference. The person who wasn't working that day, observed something, said something, and it escalated. I can tell you that happens every day. From the jitneys and the taxi cabs downtown who believe that because they're trying to do a job, they should be allowed to break the law in that case. And it's like, you can't do that. How will we grow? How will we change as a city? How will we encourage new business to come to the city if we keep doing the things that people keep saying what makes us broken? It just, the two can't coexist. I have reached out to the leadership. The leadership from the various communities have reached out to me. We talk. I've encouraged them. I still encourage them. The city hall isn't mine. It's owned by the public. That's why it's called city hall. I don't get involved and tell people what they should and shouldn't do. I don't try to pick the leaders. I don't tell the communities, that's your leader, this isn't your leader. I don't do that. That's not my function. But at the same token, I can tell you that I just can't be, I don't see the benefit of just going to a, let's say, and I'm going to use parade and festival. Parades and festivals can't be the only thing that we speak of. We've got to talk about our kids learning, our kids going on to college and higher education, and those who want to go, about the quality of the housing conditions that exist. Why don't we have a lot of other people from different communities signing up for jobs in different positions, not political jobs, but signing up, taking civil service, and going through the process? The old way was exactly where we've been coming from, where friends of the program got the hookup, and the rest of us got screwed. That's where we came from. And so in every community, and I mean every community, there is a person who has been self-proclaimed as the leader of that community. Well, that's fine. But the Constitution that we go under, and particularly Faulkner has for the city of Patterson, only has one leader, that would be the mayor, at the city level. The council members represent the different wards, and the community organizations are, in fact, community, neighborhood. So the battles keep being about who has power. Well, if we keep fighting over who has power, what's going to get done? And so
we have to
make a conscious decision. The conscious decision is to get projects going that would encourage economic development to the city. And they've all been based on cultural identification. For the Latin American nations to understand that we can do business, we can trade. For the Muslim communities, we can do business, we can trade. Come in, the Chinese, come on into our city. Let's create jobs, let's create opportunities. When they come, though, let's be clear. When they come, and they're coming, they're going to want to do the same thing we've been doing. They're going to want to take over plots of land and own it and have control over it. It won't work. It can't work. The Constitution doesn't allow for it, and the citizens aren't going to allow for somebody to come in and just take over. So until we figure out this balance, until we figure out how we have open communication and dialogue, and it's not about how I get my benefit and forget everybody else, then we're stuck and stupid.
Let me ask you, Mr. May, before we had about eight minutes left of the program, look back on, you know, a lot has changed since you walked down Market Street 3.5 years ago. A lot has changed, and judging from and, you know, the social media is a small part of the city of Patterson, but there's a lot of vitriolic, if for lack of a better word, things that are being said about you. Oh, the mayor doesn't care, and he's arrogant, and this and that and the other. So let's take a look back to the last 3.5 years you have been mayor of the city of Patterson. Is there something that you wish you could have handled better or differently?
You know, I've asked myself that question just about every day. And believe me, it's not about the big things, because the big things are get blown up by, as you say, social media and people who have a desire to have access and control for the city. And in order to answer your question, let me ask your listeners this. Why is it now that everybody has such interest in Patterson? And you got to ask yourself that hard question. For 30-plus years, we've had the same problem. These problems we've had didn't happen when I got here. They've been here. I refuse to play with them. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of not going along and getting along with that game. Why? Because I've buried the same folks everybody else has buried. I've gone to and have known people who've lost their homes. I've seen kids go away to schools and come back because they're not prepared. I've seen the elderly unable to make ends meet. I've seen it all, and I realized the one thing that used to keep happening was the deal, the so-called political deal that kept the same people on top and the rest of us on the bottom. I didn't accept it. I still don't accept it. So that's what I'm guilty of. Agreed. I agree 100%. It's not arrogant. It's because I won't agree to that they have control over the various press media, and they'll knock me out. That's fine. Punch me. Hurt me. It's part of the deal. I got that. But I live here, too, as does my family. This is where I grew up at. This is where I served for. This is what I did. So projects, project-based, we've done more. We've done 17, 18 projects. Things that have been on the table for 30 years, we got it done. We ain't out there banging on our chest saying, look at what we did. We got it done because that's what the job calls for. We address crime. Best? Absolutely not. But we addressed crime, and we brought it down. And I refuse to accept the conversation about curfew because that's a.k.a. apartheid. I refuse to accept it. Prove to me that somebody demonstrate to me without a question that curfew is the answer, and then I'm going to respond to you this. Well, if curfew is the answer, and we had a big map, and we circled all the areas by which curfew is necessary, what neighborhood would that be in? And the interesting thing, it won't be in all the neighborhoods. It'll only be in one or two.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Mayor Jones, I'm sorry. Let me ask you. We got a few minutes left. Now, I don't mean to refer to other people in regards to you, but one of the candidates asked me to name five of your biggest or five accomplishments that you've five things that you've accomplished since you've been the mayor of the city of Patterson? And I said, well, listen, I'm not the scorekeeper. I don't know. So,
well, here's what I'm not going to do. If a candidate is asking as a candidate, then I'm not going to respond. We'll say that for the debate.
Right.
But if you had if they had identified themselves as Citizen A, and I'm not going to play that game with them. If they were Citizen whomever, one of your general listeners, and had a question, I'd answer. But once they identify themselves as a candidate, no, I'm not going to give you that. We got 17 things that we've actually done more than that. We've done more than that. I say 17 because they were the 17 that I'm most proud of. But if they want to know, they want to get in this game, they want to run, then they need to find out what was done, because that's the one I'm going to be laying out on the table. And they're going to, if they've been sitting on the council all this time, sniping what we've been doing so they can present themselves as a candidate, holding progress back by hostage deliberately so that they can say, look at me, then, no, I'm not going to give you that. Figure it out.
Okay, so you picked up your petition the other day, it was in a newspaper, so you are definitely a candidate for May of 2014.
Well, nobody's a candidate until they get the petitions in. I'm seeking the office, I've got the petitions like everybody else who's secured them, and I've got to get 801 signatures like everybody else, and then you got to go through the debates and you got to present the platform. That's what's got to happen.
Okay. People are calling in at the last minute. We got about 2.5 minutes left now. Everybody wants to call into the program. And I've been touting this all week on Facebook and Twitter, social media, and now people want to call in the last couple minutes. People are in the chat room. Nobody's saying anything.
Ron, here's interesting. My number is 973-865-4617. It's the same cell number I've had since I've been on the council. What I find interesting is these people have these questions. You could have called me anytime. It's not a private number. It's a city number. And the questions that you're asking, go to the website, www.pattersonnj.gov. It's got every project we've done and some that are still coming. It talks about all of the documents, the MOU from the very beginning. It shows the disparity between the ones that the former mayor had and how stringent the ones have been that we've gotten. It's got all of it out there. So if you really want to know, go ahead. I'm not going to be this sitting duck here while they call in them who have a certain issue. But if those who have a real interest in learning something or want to talk to you about an issue, I gave you my number. I gave you the website. You can call me, not just today because you're on the Ron Kelly Show, which I appreciate. You can call me anytime. And I'm at City Hall, 155 Market Street, second floor. Come down anytime. We meet with folks all day, any day, every day. And I've done on weekends too. So what I'm not going to do, and this might be where they're calling arrogant, and that's okay if they are. I've been in this game over 20 years. And by that, I mean simply this. You got to stand for something. I'm not standing for Jeff Jones. I'm standing for a city that I love, period. Other folks are whatever they want to be. That's fine. But you're not going to try to get yours off on me on this way. I mean, I'm not with that guy. So, you know, every Monday I have open door policy for council members. I've had maybe 2 council members come see me in 4 years. So it's not like them who are saying they want to run now who are on a council didn't have an opportunity to talk. They meet with the administration 3 or 4 times a week. They don't have a desire to fix. They want to sit back and name. But, again, that's why we've been the way we've been for all these decades. I stood out on faith, made some changes, stood my position, will stand my position. The city has seen some benefit and some growth. And now they think they're going to get something because it's quick and dirty? Not this day.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We got about 10 seconds left. Thank you so much. We didn't take any breaks today. Happy New Year, Mr. Mayor. Good luck in May. And, you know, I'll see you. You know, we'll be bumping to each other every now and then. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
You got it.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you.
Peace.